We're here at a junkyard. And maybe you've heard the saying, one man's trash is another man's treasure.
Welcome to Connections with Rich and Bobby. Hi, I'm Rich, Rich Homeris.
And I'm Bobby, Bobby Hamlin. We're continuing our visit with Roy Goble. Now, as a successful Silicon Valley real estate developer, he shares how he's learned many of his life lessons in a very unusual place, his father's junkyard. He's written a book about this, entitled Salvaged, Leadership Lessons Pulled from the Junkyard.
Now, you also make a point in your book to make friends in low places. So can you explain? That kind of goes against, most people's drive for success. Make friends in low places?
Yeah, again, it comes back to Jesus, doesn't it? I mean, Jesus made a lot of friends in low places, and he managed to really tick off the people in high places. So there's a lesson in that. But what I really mean by that is that too many of us, and myself included, we walk into a room and we scan the room and we say, who do we need to connect with? What will I get out of this conversation or this evening's events or this party or whatever? And you look for the person you want to connect with because you think they'll further your business or your career or promote your book, whatever the case might be. I think we would be wiser and more humble and more like Christ if we looked around the room and found the people that were in the low places. Befriend the person that's serving the food or cleaning up afterwards. Do things like that. The story in the book, I mentioned that when I was 12, we moved out to a cattle ranch. Part of the reason for that move was because I was getting beat up in junior high. And that's mostly because I was a smart aleck. Today they'd say those guys were bullies, but they weren't bullies. I was ticking them off because of the things I was saying to them. So I'll take ownership of that. But they told me they're going to get me after school, which was just typical kid talk. And they did. You know, three bigger guys jumped me. And I was getting beat up on the side of the road. When all of a sudden, and by the way, it was just a kid's fight. It wasn't any big deal. I mean, they were just kind of pushing and shoving more than anything else. And then we hear the roar of a motorcycle. And I look over, and there's this guy in this giant chopper with all decked out in black leather. He had, you know, the helmet painted red, white, and blue and a giant beard. He looked like a Hell's Angel. He really did. And he just shouts, hey, Roy, you okay? Well, those three guys pop up scared to death that I knew this biker dude, right? And it was Eddie from work. And he'd known me for years. He'd worked for our family for years. And he worked at the junkyard. So he saw this and he pulls over and that's all he said was, hey, Roy, you okay? And they immediately, those three guys stood up and got scared to death and ran away. I said, yeah, I'm okay. And dusted myself off. And he goes, okay. And drove on. No big deal, right? But if I had not known him, I'd have gone home with a bloody nose and bloody lip and everything else. Yes. And so knowing friends in low places can actually be very helpful sometimes.
I'll say. And it kind of reminds me of somebody that we just talked with, Rich. It was a pastor who was opening a new church, and they had a couple of handfuls of people who attended. And they were praying and praying for more people to come to their church. And they were a little taken aback by the location of it, because there were homeless people out front and some kind of scary looking people. And they would kind of climb around them on their way to get up to the front steps. And they were thinking, well, no wonder people aren't coming, because, you know, this scary obstacle course here to get up to the church. And so they thought, well, maybe if we take care of them, you know, then it'll take care of itself and they'll move on. And so they would give them some food and climb around them and then lock the door when they got inside. And then they'd pray for more people to come to the church. Yeah. And the obvious story is finally the Lord opened their eyes and said, I've brought you people. They're right in front of you, you know. And so that kind of brings up something else that you were saying about learning from the junkyard is value, right? And what we value or what we don't value. And can you talk about that a little bit?
In the junkyard, we would buy cars, obviously, that we would sell for the value of their parts. And it became a habit to see a wrecked car or a car that wasn't running or just flat out old or abandoned, whatever, and immediately begin to value it for its parts. So you look at it and you go, what's the engine worth? What's the glass worth? The doors worth? That kind of thing. And you add it up in your head. Well, there's nothing wrong with that in a business setting. The problem was it becomes so ingrained in you that you begin to value people the same way. And the value decision there leaves something less than desirable. You end up looking at a person going, hey, these people are really good at doing podcasts. I will use them for podcasts, but I'm not interested in you in any other way.
Yes.
Okay, that's an unhealthy way to value people. And I think as leaders, we have a lot of people that we choose to put in certain positions because they have certain talents. Absolutely fine with that. Obviously, that's the way we need to lead. And we want that person to fulfill their potential. But when we begin to only see them that way, is that person's really good at closing a deal, or that person's really good at whatever, then we've made a value decision that's very unhealthy.
We're visiting with Roy Goebel as he talks about leadership from his book, about lessons he pulled from a junkyard called Salvaged. And we'll return to our talk with Roy in just a moment.
You're listening to Connections with Rich and Bobby, and we'd love to connect with you. Why not check us out on social media? You can friend us on Facebook, post on Instagram, and or tweet us on Twitter.
Also, you can email us at connect2richandbobby@gmail.com or write to us at Connections, P.O. Box 1610, Alameda, California, 94501.
Now let's return to our talk with Roy Goebel and find out more that we can glean from a junkyard.
Now you go on with some unusual terms in your book, and one of those unusual terms is boring is good. If I'm sitting there on my porch and I'm really bored to death, is that pretty good?
Maybe. Probably not. That's not exactly what I meant in the book. No. I think there's an addiction, especially the Silicon Valley influence. There's an addiction on innovation, and we want to re-engineer everything. We want to innovate on everything. Now, sometimes that's a really good thing. And there are certainly parts of our culture and society and the way we do things that needs to be done. But it's become an addiction where we only look at things if they're cutting edge and new and exciting as being worthwhile. There are a lot of good ministries out there. There's a lot of good businesses out there, a lot of good schools out there that are just doing the right things the right way at the right time. And frankly, it's a little bit boring. But it's good work. They're doing some great stuff. Mm-hmm. And that's what I wanted to kind of turn upside down a little bit, is this idea that innovation and doing things that are creative sounds exciting. It's fantastic. But there's a lot of really good work out there that's just the tried and true.
Yeah. So we should stay the course at times and not change for the sake of changing.
I think so. Yeah. Yeah. Every situation's different, obviously. But yeah, I would think so.
So important in the points that you make in valuing people and valuing everything, jobs, everything, is taking a complete look, I guess you would say, and maybe just following the leading of the Lord.
Yep, exactly.
Now, greatness in leadership. Jesus was asked about this, and he says in Matthew 20, verses 26 through 28, "But whosoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whosoever would be first among you must be your slave, even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." So how would you define greatness?
Well, I don't think I need to. I think Jesus just did. That's a great passage that defines servant leadership, and this idea that if you're going to be a great leader, you need to be a great servant. And you need to serve the people around you on a regular and consistent basis. I think that's a big part of it. But I also think that we can get taken away sometimes about this idea of greatness. And it kind of goes back to the boring question. We don't have to be great at everything. Actually, if you think about it, the world doesn't run on great. The world runs on competency.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't need a great tow truck driver when my car breaks down. I just need a tow truck driver. I don't need a great garbage collector. I just need a garbage collector. I mean, there's so many things that the world runs on that are just competency. So to me, the message there is, look, if you really want to be a great leader, be a good servant. And that's what Jesus is kind of turning upside down on all of us.
And along with that, when somebody is successful and becomes a leader of great responsibility, sometimes if they're a follower of Christ, they may say, okay, Lord, I have it from here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
How is it to stay clung to Christ? I am the vine, you are the branches. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So when you get up there, how is it to be able to humble yourself to remember who's in charge?
Yeah, if you hit the top rungs of whatever profession or industry you're in, it gets harder and harder to not be wooed and tempted by your own success. That's a massive challenge in our culture. We see it across the board. Pick anything at all: politics, business, education, government, healthcare, anything at all. You're going to find people that have been highly successful and begin to value themselves more than they value their relationship with Christ. I'm massively guilty of this, by the way. So I'm not pointing fingers here. And a lot of pastors are guilty of it.
Yeah.
And a lot of ministry leaders are guilty of it. So we're all guilty of it in some way. And I think we need to own that and recognize it and pray for our leaders, pray for the people around us, pray for ourselves.
Our human nature will take us in the wrong direction every time.
Yeah.
And so the more we stay connected with the Lord is just essential to be able to stay focused and moving in the right direction. Well, I was just going to ask you that, is what are the biggest challenges you think there are to leadership? Are there any other ones, pitfalls to watch out for that come to mind?
You know, I think the biggest mistake most leaders make is they don't listen well. And I interacted recently. They were a high-profile leader of a large company. And I was stunned at how, in the last two or three years since I had seen him, how he had developed this stonewall character where he wasn't listening to anybody. He thought he had it all figured out. And it was really sad. And I came home and I told my wife, that guy's going to fall. I mean, I don't mean in a moral way, but there's going to be a reckoning for that guy because he's not listening to his staff or his people or anybody around him. That's a huge mistake. And frankly, all of us make that all the time. It's a mistake we commonly make.
We've been visiting with Roy Goble, talking about leadership discoveries from a junkyard and his book, Salvaged. It's available online and at most book outlets, or simply go to his website at junkyardwisdom.com to find out more.
Also, if you've enjoyed this feature, we'd love to have you subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or any of the other platforms. You can also listen to us on a smart speaker by simply saying, Alexa or Siri or Google, play the podcast Connections with Rich and Bobby.
Yes, and we're also on social media on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. You can also contact us by email at connect2richandbobby@gmail.com. That's connect2richandbobby@gmail.com. Or write to us at Connections, P.O. Box 1610, that's 1610, Alameda, California, 94501.
This is Connections, connecting with one another, as Romans 1 verse 12 says, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. So we thank you for listening, and remember, tell others and spread the word.
And don't forget to join us next time on Connections with Rich and Bobby.